Salut tout le monde, esti, on est là cette semaine avec un de nos boys, un de nos préférés, one of our favorites, Jesse fucking Ronson. What's up, man?
One of your favorites. Fucking... Everybody over there hates me.
Nah, I fucking, nah, you're fucking one of my favorite fighter ever, bro. So I gotta
That's
say...
That's good, I like that, thanks.
Gotta say it, but yeah, maybe in Quebec you're not the favorite, but I think we kind of love you, man, in a weird way. Like, you're the guy... Yeah, exactly. You're the guy that we love to see come in here and open that he's gonna get his ass kicked and still never really gets his ass kicked. And then we're kind of mad for 2 weeks, but then we good. But they're kind of mad for 2 weeks because I fucking love to see you punch people in the body. But
you gotta get me to fight some Americans if I ever come back, or somebody from not from Quebec.
Yeah, exactly. But now, what's up, man? What's been going on for you?
I'm just training hard, man. Got this BTC fight coming up February 29th against Troy Lampson. He's pretty hot shits from what I'm told. Dana White likes him. Sean Shelby likes him. Like a lot of guys from his gym just got signed to UFC. The guy, was it Chaos Williams, just knocked a guy out. He's from Troy Lampson's gym. And then same with that Daquan Townsend guy. So they got their eye on him, so it's good. You got a tough opponent coming up, so I beat him. That'll... propel my name up there, so given everything I got for this one.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at his record. I know I remember his name. And I was looking at his record, and I remember he fought Kyle Prepelec, so that's where I kind of already heard his name, but still didn't quite know who he was. So, like, what are we expecting from Troy Lampson? Is he a Chaos William type of guy, or is he more like... No.
Right. Troy Lampson doesn't like getting hit. He's a tall, long wrestler, which is weird for a wrestler. He's got that awkward build. It's like looking at Joe Mounier and Joe Mounier saying, "I'm a wrestler." Really? You know what I mean? So Troy, he's got long arms, long legs. He likes to sit back, and he likes guys. He plays the long pot shot game. He likes guys to commit. And then when they commit, he just shoots under, grabs a leg, drives to the cage. He's actually pretty boring. He's good at what he does. He's good at holding guys down. He's good at driving to the cage and stalling because he doesn't like getting hit. He doesn't like adversity. His losses come from guys that give him trouble on the ground, guys that he can't control. His submission defense I don't think is very good, but that's what you can expect from Troy Lampson, is just playing the long game on me and trying shooting on me, but I'm going to shut him down. I'm going to put him on his back because I know how uncomfortable he is on his back. I'm going to beat him up.
Why do fucking wrestlers just can't fight off their backs?
Right? I don't know, man. I don't know why. Wrestlers can't continue on wrestling, so they think fighting's good, but then they start fighting and, you know, wrestlers don't like getting hit. I'll tell you that right now. Find me a wrestler that likes getting punched in the face. They're all tough as hell. Don't get me wrong. Wrestlers are tough. As soon as you start punching them, they're like, screw this. That's why they take guys down and they stall, so this way they don't get hit. So this way, all they do is the hitting. Because as soon as they start getting hit, they start breaking. And pretty boy Troy Lampson does not like getting hit.
Oh, man, that's funny that, like, he's training with those guys. Like, that Daquan guy that just, like, fucking tested positive for, like, cocaine and fentanyl. Like,
I didn't even know that.
Because he took his first fight on short notice, and, like, his first, like, in-competition drug test was, like, full of coke and fentanyl. And he's like... Oh, okay, because I'm a nurse, so I got, like, contaminated by touching, like, the... Yeah, how do you fucking get contaminated with coke, bro? Like, in an hospital,
I don't like cocaine. I just like the way it smells. So, you know, it just it got in there. No, he's training at Hard Knocks 365 in Florida, Henry Hoof's gym. I don't know how much attention he's getting there, but
yeah,
those guys
fuck.
They train hard there, and there's a lot of, like, Michael Chandler, Kamaru Usman. There's a lot of really good Vitor Belfort. So, you know, the coaches are paying attention to the guys bringing this in. Troy's not. So he's probably just a punching bag down there for guys to use, but he's still getting – I guarantee he's getting good work, but it's probably not the specialized work that he wants for somebody like me.
Yeah, man, like, I was – literally wondering something like this the other day, because many people, like, they say, oh man, like, you need to train with the best guys, you need to train with the best guys, but, like, to some extent, like, I'm fine with that. Like, I understand. But, like, if you're just not as good as them, how good is it for you to train with these guys? Like, how much does Troy Lampson learn from Kamaru Usman? Or does he just, like, fucking get smashed and, like, have the worst fucking rounds and basically learn not that much because he's getting destroyed? That's what I wonder. Because I know it's good, like, to train with the best, like, feel, like, what's the level, but do you really improve from this, or do you improve, like, training with people that are maybe more of your caliber? I was wondering that, like...
You know, it's good to get guys... Like, you don't want to be the best guy in the gym, because if you're the best guy in the gym, like, essentially that's what you can look for. That's the peak, that's what you're going to get. So it's always good to train with guys that are better than you, so this way you know what you need to do to advance. However, getting your ass kicked all the fucking time is not going to help you improve. What is it going to make you tougher? No way. The body gets broken down and it stays broken down. We're not Wolverine. We don't regenerate like that. So, I mean, if you got a really good coach, like an Olympic level coach, for example, say you're my coach and then I train with you for years, right? I get as good as I can get with you, but then I go with a guy that won the ADCC trials 3 times or whatever. You know what I mean? I can learn a lot more from him than I can from you. So obviously my game's going to step up just by learning more and training that stuff. So you don't need A-level guys to drill your technique. You just need an A-level coach, and you need to believe in them to get that technique sharper. Then when you go up against good guys, you know, it's always good to have good guys to train against so you know that your techniques will work, but that's why you can't be the best guy in the gym. So that's why, for me, I've been traveling, you know, I go from Adrenaline to Parabellum to Hamilton. I travel all over to get different looks from different guys and everything else. So I can't, if I'm the best guy in the gym today, I won't be the best guy in the gym at Parabellum and so on and so forth. So, yeah, you don't need Kamaru Usman and Michael Chandler's, because those guys, I look at Michael Chandler training, he smashes guys. Like, there's only one other
person. Yeah, they're acting fucking crazy in the gym. Kamaru too, man.
Yeah, Kamaru Usman beats the shit out of Michael Johnson. Like, beats the shit out of him. I'm like, how is that even, like, Michael Johnson ain't learning nothing except for staying on the bottom, and maybe it's willpower not to quit. I don't know. But it's like Diego Sanchez. He's one of the worst training partners I've ever seen, because he literally fights you every time. It's like, what's the point of that? You know, you're just going to get Brent, which he has. I think Diego's got some pretty serious brain damage and lingering injuries. But yeah, to have really good guys, it's all right to drill and technique with, to see if your shit will work on the best level guys. Other than that, you don't need to get your ass kicked every day. It's just the human body is not meant for that type of punishment.
Yeah, of course, man. That's basically what I thought. But like, he's in terms of training partners and shit, I guess, like, he's got a pretty deep gym. Like, there's hella people training out of this camp, so it's probably good. But like, you pretty much got nothing to envy, like, him at that level. Like you've been saying, you've got good guys at Adrenaline, good guys at Parabellum, good guys everywhere you go. So fuck it, it's like, I don't see that much of a difference. Like, it's not like if he was at one of the super camps, like one of the best camps with the best coaches. I feel Henry Roof, he's a good coach, but like, sometimes he's got weird methods. I feel like he's not for everybody. Like, this motherfucker is kind of screaming at you in the corner, and like, it seems to work on some people, but other people's, man, I don't know.
Yeah, if he was training at like George St. Pierre, for example, when he went to the Olympic Wrestling Club, it made a difference. Like, his wrestling went from here to, you know, he became the best wrestler in the UFC, beating guys that went to the Olympics, beating A-level wrestlers, because he was training with high-level wrestlers. So his technique was improving, and then he was also wrestling with really good guys, and it showed, right? So it all depends on where you go, and, like, he had the right coaching and whatnot. I take Charles Jourdain, for example. He trained at his own little gym, Tapstar, whatever it was. I think he's changed it now. But
it just closed down, so he's...
He literally had the same training partners and the same coaches his whole life. Look at this fucking kid, man. He just knocked out Superboy. You know what I mean? That is a prime example where you train your techniques and you just believe in the system, and it's like, you don't need... He doesn't need to go to TriStar, to be honest, to get better. If anything, he'll get hurt. People will try and take his head off when he's having a bad day or whatnot. Like, that's a prime example right there. Just trust your team, trust your teammates, get the good techniques in, you know, do your research, and just train your fucking ass off.
Yeah, and he's got his crazy ass brother trying to knock his head off every fucking day. So,
Louis is one of my favorite guys. Like, watching that, I love watching that guy fight. like, anytime he was fighting, I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up. I got to watch this guy fight, because this guy, he puts it on the line against Tony Laramie, against, I can't remember the guy's name from the United States that he fought three rounds with. Jesse Arnett fought him.
Yeah, the Ruiz guy, yeah, Sebastian Ruiz.
Yeah, that was a fucking crazy fight. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. I'm like, his career won't last too long if he keeps doing stuff like that, but he's going to go somewhere quick if he keeps doing that. Like, all he'll need is like 5-0, 6-0 with a fighting style like that, and people will be all over him. However, he'll be riddled with injuries and fucking CTE and whatnot, but I'll still love him. That fucking kid's amazing.
Yeah, no, he's like the crazy version of Shaol, man. He's absolutely insane. And he's like Shaol is the most like outgoing of the two. I feel like Louis, if you go talk to him, he's gonna talk to you, but he's not the guy that like is gonna come to you and talk. He's like more reserved in his corner, but when you lock that guy inside of a cage, man, fuck, he's crazy.
Yeah, they're both good. It's good to have a brother. Like, I wish I had a brother like that, you know what I mean? I'd probably be a lot better than what I was, because we just kick the shit out of each other all the time and just look to improve. I mean, Charles is a really smart guy. He's not just gonna, all right, let's just beat the fuck out of each other today and see where it goes. You know, there's a method to his madness, and that's why he's excelling at what he's doing.
Yeah, he's cool to see, man, because fuck, he's doing great things, like you said. Yeah, he's doing.
There's some times where I look at him like, why the fuck did he just throw this 360 flying scissor knee? The thing is, he's taking these chances knowing full well that, yeah, this guy's a good wrestler. He could take me down and hold me down. But if I don't throw it, how am I going to know what's going to happen if I don't fucking throw it? I like that shit. That is fucking good shit. He's trusting his instincts and he's doing what he wants to do. That's what I'm talking about. That's a real fighter right there.
For sure. And on that BTC card, you got any teammates like going at it?
I got a couple of guys. One guy that I train with, Jamie Flick. He's at Adrenaline, but then he trains at Munda Jiu-Jitsu more so than anything. A good friend of mine and training partner for a long time, Adam Asenza, he's on it. I think, I don't know, he's not the co-main event. Like, there's a title fight.
He's fighting like Cody Pfister, right?
Cody Pfister, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy too.
That's going to be a good fight.
Yeah.
And Siri City, another guy. So Asenza and Siri, they train at Parabellum. They're on it. I think Kyron Cameron, another guy that I've used, I was using him a lot when I was going to fight, trying to fight Mounier. He's on it. So, yeah, there's three or four guys that I know that are on it that I train at, various gyms that I train at. So,
yeah.
All right.
I'm just about to speak to Mateo, who's fighting Series City. That's going to be a crazy fight too, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one because, man, Series, he's good, like real good. I didn't see him much, but like what's cool with BTC is that they're putting all their shit on YouTube afterwards. So I just got to see his fight like late last year, and I was like, man, this kid, he's quite good, man. I'm having high hopes in him. And Mateo, we've seen him.
He's good everywhere. Young kid, he's tall, he's lean. Like, he gives Josh Hill a lot of problems. Like, I remember when he first started coming to the gym, Josh was beating him up. I was like, man, this can't be good for this kid. Now it's like, Josh has got his hands full every time. He's like, Siri gives everybody a hard time. Tall, lanky guy. And, like, this is a good test for him and Mateo as well, like, to see where they stand. Like, this is the type of fight that I've been telling Siri. I'm like, you need to start going after these fights. I'm like, you're 3-0, 4-0 now. You need to get a test before you can see whether or not you need, whether you can take the step up in competition or you need a few more tune-up fights or whatnot just to round out your skills. So this will be good for the both of them. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Because as a grappler, Mateo's my kind of brawler, like the guy who's just going to fucking pull guard if it's not working and just try his shit. That's like, you like people who throw flying knees when they know they're going to get taken down. I like people who fucking pull guard and just don't give a fuck and trying to throw arm bars and triangles off their backs. That's my kind of shit.
Well, the thing is, they're trying to finish the fight. Now, I don't mind that as long as they're, well, I do. I don't like Ryan Hall, for example. I can't fucking stand that. Just fucking. So, all the power to Mateo, as long as he doesn't try to pull fucking Ryan Hall, where he just runs away. And as soon as somebody like tries to close the distance, he just falls to his butt and goes, "Oh, climb on top of me." As long as he's trying flying arm bars and stuff like that, sure, all the power to him.
Yeah, but he's a good wrestler too. I was doubting him, like, on his wrestling. I don't remember which TKO fight at. He surprised me. Just took the guy down. He's able, man. And he, I think his second fight, the one he fought at 145, like, he was getting touched up in the first round. Even, like, ended on his back and got, like, some heavy ground and pound and shit. And, like, the kid, he's tough. Like, that's not gonna fold him. He's like willing to just walk forward and eat some shots and in order to get his takedowns and stuff. So it may not be the best strategy against Siri, but
he's gonna be a grappler. Like, if he wants guys on the ground, obviously jiu-jitsu's got to be your main focus. You got to train that at least once a day, six times a week. Then you got to get your wrestling in there. That's got to be your secondary focus. Your striking, just work your jab to close distance to get into that wrestling range, because you want to be on the ground, you got to work your wrestling, or else you ain't going to get to the ground. So what's the point of being a 10th degree black belt in BJJ if you can't get the fight to the ground, right? You can't knock him, like, so, yeah, work your wrestling, get it done.
Yeah, like fucking, like, Sergio Moraes, worst fucking fighter ever, like, he's a fucking world champion in jiu-jitsu, never shot for a fucking takedown in his whole career, was, like, playing the bouncy range game and fucking throwing like five shots around, like, worst shit ever. Worst fucking shit ever.
Like, if jiu-jitsu is your main skill and you can't get it to the mat, well, so much for your fucking jiu-jitsu there, bud. It's like Anderson Silva. He's a great striker and he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He completely ignored wrestling. That's good for him, because he's like, I don't need to wrestle. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Take me down. I know what I'm doing. So this way I can spend, you know, if I have 12 practices in a week, I can spend 12 of them on striking and jiu-jitsu. I don't have to do wrestling whatsoever, so it's saving me time. And I'm like, the guy's got a fucking point, you know? He's 16-0 in the UFC until he started losing and breaking his legs and getting popped for steroids and shit, whatever.
Yeah. And, okay, for let's say we've got a scale from shitty to extremely shitty. Rank your 2019.
Oh, shit. 2019 was a bad year for me, man. I wouldn't say it was extremely shitty, because that's the best shape I've ever been in my life. When I went into that Charles Oudet fight, was that last year? Yeah.
Yeah, sure, began like April.
Yeah. I was the best shape I've ever been in. I got to Quebec. I was 164 pounds. I had like 5% body fat. Like, I was ready to go to war. Like, I was strong. I was lean. I was ready. I made weight super easy. And then fucking stupid bullshit doctor did a test that I'd already done, and it's like, just enough of that. Like, there's nothing I can do about that. That's bullshit. And then, you know, PFL, yeah, I'm training 8 hard weeks for this one guy.
Not fucking and Brazilian, like, that you would have crushed, man.
Carlos Silva, yeah. If I fought him, I probably would have made the playoffs. I'd have knocked him out in the first round, but nope. You got to give me Natan Schulte and 24 hours notice. The back-to-back champion.
Like, probably the only top 15 guy in the old fucking PFL.
Yeah, he's the best guy. Yeah, for sure. He's the best guy in the PFL, and he's the only guy I think that would survive in the UFC and make it top 10 UFC and do well. A lot of people said that who've trained with Natan Schulte and trained with Khabib, they have a very similar style. One's good at, like, they're almost identical. So it's like, wow, okay. Not that I think Natan could beat Khabib or anything like that, but it's good to know. And then, because of that fight, they said, you know what, Jesse, we're going to give you another shot. And then they forgot about me. So then they're like, okay, well, we got an opening at 170 versus Nikolai Aleksakin. And I was like, whatever, just give it to me.
Like, you fucking rush, man.
Yeah, had I had won that fight, yeah, sure, I'd get signed back to the PFL, but it'd be at the 170 division. So, you know, next year we got Ray Cooper, we got Rory McDonald, like all these monster 170 guys. I'd be like, well, this is going to go well for me. Son of a bitch. When I fought Nikolai Aleksakin, I didn't cut any weight. I made 170, no problem. When I rehydrated, I was like 175, 176. Like, I was heavier when I was going to fight Charles Oudet than at 55 than what I was when I fought Nikolai Aleksakin for PFL. I was like, this is not – like, even my coaches were like, dude, you're way too small for 170. This is not going to go well. Like, no more 170 for you. And I'm like, I agree. I don't need 170 anymore. So yeah, 2019 was a pretty fucking shitty year. So here we go with 2020. Let's make it better.
Yeah, man, and that fucking like UFC shit happening in the middle of that, or like back, was it? When was
it? It was
that?
December. Yeah. December 2018.
Yeah, exactly. So just to start 2019, right? Fuck, man.
Yeah, that December, that fucking sucked because, like, when I fought Dufour, I had a torn hamstring, and that was the roughest 5 rounds of my life because I could barely use my left leg. And then, like, it was just getting better, and then when the fight was over with and I get it checked, they're like, dude, your leg's fucked. Like, you need to relax or else, like, you're done. Your career's over. So I'm like, okay, I'll chill. So, you know, you take a month off, let your leg heal up, and you try getting back to it, and it's just your man. Oh, by the way, can you fight in the UFC in 11 days? You're like, well, fuck yeah, I'll give it a shot. Meanwhile, I hadn't been training at all because of my fucking leg. And, you know, I should have said no, because that definitely set me back with the UFC. I had to do a lot to get back in the good graces, but I should have said no to that fight. But had I had said no, they probably would have never called me again. They would have been like, all right, well, if you don't want it, you can't have it. Everybody's got to be ready to go for the UFC when they call you. So it is what it is.
Yeah, kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah. But, man, I really hope the best for you in that fight. I'm pretty confident about that one, man. I guess, like, if you get to play your game and you got a guy, like, trying to play the distance game on you, fuck, maybe leaving some openings for maybe some beautiful body shots or shits like that. But I wanted to ask, as my last question, you kind of alluded to the fact that this was probably going to be your last fight in Ontario. So do you got something in the works that we need to know, man?
Well, the thing is, I was told to get a win and I would be back in the PFL for their 2020 season in May. That is not happening anymore. So I'm not guaranteed a shot in the PFL. So this may or may not be my last fight in Ontario, because that's why, like, my manager's like, don't fight Troy Lamson. He's a stud. We just need a win. We need to get that win so we have bargaining chips for PFL. And then all of a sudden, PFL goes, you know what? We're getting rid of 50% of the roster. And now if you want a spot on the PFL, you got to win one of the tournaments. So, like,
I heard about their fucking tournament.
A four-man tournament in Russia, and the winner of that gets a shot at the PFL. They're doing one in Saudi Arabia. They're doing one in Germany. They're doing, you know, all over to fill up those six spots, right? So he's like, Jesse, we're not guaranteed a shot at the PFL with a win. So I'm like, well, what about if I beat Troy Lamson? He's hot shit right now. Will that put me back on the radar? He's like, it could help, but then you're only on a one-fight, you know, win. You got to be ready for short notice and et cetera, all that other shit again. I lose to Troy Lamson, which is not happening. I'm not ready to lose. I will not lose. I'll probably retire. That's three losses in a row. I'm 34 years old. You know, I'll be 20 and 11. The chances of me getting somewhere that's going to pay decent, like, I can't just keep hanging on to this shit forever. I'm going to need to do something else with my life. But if I was 25, sure, no problem. So that's why I can't lose to Troy Lamson. I got to win, because a loss means retirement. A win propels me in the right direction. TKO's coming back in April. I'd like to get on that if possible, unless the PFL signs me or something crazy happens. I don't know. But yeah, as for fights in Ontario, I'm not getting the money that I want to fight a guy like Troy Lamson. You know, Stéphane Potry offered me Troy Lamson for my last TKO fight on my contract. And just to say the least, the money that I was going to make from TKO is about four times as much as what I'm going to make from BTC. Right. So I was making this kind of money back in like 2011, 2012, which really fucking sucks, but I need the fight and he's the only guy that's willing to fight me. So that's why I'm taking this fight with BTC. And I'm thankful for them to get me this quality of an opponent this close to home. So beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. So, like, let's say you beat him, then next, is it like first big promotion that calls you, you just go there? Like, if one FC calls you, let's say, are you going?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I would love to go to one FC.
I would kick people in the face.
I would fight at 170 there because of their hydration tests that they do, but I feel good. I like the competition, and they pay exceptionally well. And plus, it's a freaking trip to Asia, wherever it is in Asia. And, you know, I've always wanted to go adventure over there, so it would be fun to go to 1FC or even Risen. Bellator starting to sign Canadians now. They signed Josh Hill, they signed Jordan Meehan. You know, I got a P1 visa that's good until 2022, which means I can fight in the States, so I'm good there. I can take short notice for Bellator or UFC or whatever. Yeah, it's, but the thing is, UFC would be the ultimate goal. I got to get back there. I got to get my one win. I can't just leave 0-3 in the UFC. So that was like the ultimate thing that I want to do is to get back to the UFC if possible. But like I said, at this point in my career, it's about the money. Right now, it's not about fighting. I love fighting. I've had 30 pro MMA fights, and it's I do it because I love to fight, but I need fucking some financial stability and security here. So whoever's offering the fucking dinero.
Yeah, of course. And man, would you consider, I don't know if you heard of it, but that new league from the Cyril Gane and Francis Ngannou's coach, which is Fernand Lopez, it's Aris. Yeah, I looked at the first event, and it's good, man. Like, the quality is good. The video quality, like the stream, the production, everything. Like, really good, really professional. I'd say, like, on par with TKO, even maybe a little better, because, like, they got pretty much all the European market. That's really easy to fly in from pretty much anywhere. So, like, they had, like, good prospects and good vets on their first card.
Nordine's fighting there, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Mernier's probably going to get other fights there too, so... But I think he's more into, like, maybe Europeans versus people from elsewhere, so I don't know if you could fight Mernier there. I don't know if you really want that fight still, but...
Mernier. The thing is, like, it was... Everybody always thinks, oh, Ronson hates Mernier, Ronson wants him bad. Wrong. I wanted Mounier because he was, what, 9-1 or 10-1? He got released from the UFC off a fucking win. Like, the only reason why I wanted to fight Mounier so bad is because beating him would for sure get me to the next level. I've got nothing against Joe Mounier. I like him. I like Nordine. I like those guys. They're fucking cool. But I did everything and anything possible to try and get him to fight me, and it didn't happen. It is what it is. It's done. It's not like I hate the guy. I see him, I'll shake his hand. If I don't know if he likes me or not, but it is what it is. I only did that because he was the guy to beat. And you know what? Now he's not the guy to beat. I don't know who is the guy to beat right now in the local scene. Because
at 55, pretty much nobody.
Like, even at 170, there's no guy, right? Like, he was the guy out of the United States, out of Canada, out of everywhere. Joe Mounier was the guy. I'm like, holy fuck, this guy's in the organization that I fight in, and he's the dude. He's 10-1, coming up a win in the UFC. Like, this is the guy that I need to beat, get recognized, because they still had their eyes on him, right? It's not like they wanted to release him, but they did. So, like, that's the only reason why I wanted to fight Joe Mounier, and now, like, that time has passed. So, and unless he can cut down to 55, which I doubt it, the guy's like 7'9".
Yeah.
I make him 55. And if he really wants to fight, right now at my point in my career, unless the money's there, that fight's not gonna happen. So
yeah, but
he doesn't need it. So whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, I just wondering if you were contacted by Aris, like, is it like a big enough league for you, or?
Sure, man. If they can pay, then sure enough. Like,
I think they can.
I had an interesting conversation with Alin about Fight Night Global yesterday. Yeah. And he was wondering, he's like, what do you got going on after February? He's like, this league can take care of you financially. He's like, I'm like, well, I don't know what you mean by that, but I know that they signed Shane Campbell to a 6-figure deal. That's at least $100,000. Like, I don't know how many fights it is. If it's 5 fights, you know, that's $20,000 a fight. I'm like, that's okay. You know what I mean? That would be worth it. But yeah, I don't know what Aries pays. But and who they have. I mean, Joe Mounier got a raw deal when he fought that. What did he fight? A Russian guy that fucking.
Wow. That shot. Like, French Russian guy? I don't really know, man. I know he's training out of France. He was pretty good, and fuck.
Yeah. I was shocked. I thought, I was like, Joe's going to go over there and fucking murk this guy. I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, my coach, Andrew, was like, are you watching this fight with Mounier right now? I was like, no. I was going to watch it later. He's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, Mounier is getting beat. I'm like, are you serious? What the fuck is going on?
Ah, it was crazy. Did you see that fucking Senegalese wrestler on that card?
No.
Oh, bro, it was some of the craziest fucking shit I've seen. Like the fool was like getting stuck in an armbar, like, and he just fucking lifted the other heavyweight dude on one arm and threw him up over his fucking head. Like, what's up? That's amazing. Some of the craziest shit I've seen, man. Like, the guy had probably the worst striking ever, but, like, he really looked like a fucking gorilla, like, pouncing on you. It had no technique, but all power. It was, like, fucking terrifying.
Like that guy from 1FC, he looks like a bodybuilder, but he can do the splits, and he's got gas, and you're like, this guy's going to gas in 10 seconds wrong. That big black guy in 1FC, you know what I'm talking about? There's highlight videos of him. He's fucking massive.
Yeah,
where do they find him?
That's fucking crazy. And in Asia, man, they like their fightings, but they like their freak shows too, man. Fuck.
Freak shows it is. That guy I fought, Michel Prezeris, my first fight in the UFC, just tested positive for fucking steroids. I'm like, it took me this fucking long to catch this guy? This guy's been on steroids forever. He's fucking 5'5", as wide as a house. Strongest guy I've ever fucking ever had grab a hold of me. I was like, holy shit, like he has to be on something. Finally, they get him for Boldenone, I can't even pronounce it. I was like, holy shit, like 2 year suspension for that guy. But man, yeah. One FC, you can tell there's some fucking guys that they're on some good shit.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I'm going to let you go, my man. Thanks a lot.
Good. Thanks for the call, my man.
And we'll be looking forward to that fight at BTC 9, I believe. Whatever. Fucking BTC Jesse Ronson versus Troy Lampson. We'll be looking at that shit. We'll be rooting for you since you're not fighting a Quebecer. And
yes. It's about time.
Yeah.
Back right on my side.
Fucking right. Thanks a lot, my man.
Thank you. Have a good day, man.
Yes, sir. Bye. Boom, on est de retour. Deuxième partie du podcast cette semaine. Et on reçoit Matteo Vogel, representing Jiu-Jitsu, straight out of Ottawa. What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Really happy to have you on the podcast, because that means that you're fucking fighting soon, and you know how I'll do it. I like to see you fight because you do some great ass jiu-jitsu, and that's what I like to see. So I'm pretty stoked for it.
Oh man, it's overdue. It's a long time overdue, man. Feels like I've been waiting to make this return for a long time, man.
Of course, man. We often spoke here in Quebec about like how fighters from Quebec had a shit 2019, but we often forget that some of you guys from Ontario too were kind of like caught up in these contracts and like just events not happening left and right, and you were like kind of on the hold. So just wanted to know, like, how were you able to deal with that? Was it like real frustrating or?
I'm sorry?
Like, how did you live with the last year, the last portion of last year was just, like, sucked really hard and you got, like, mini fights canceled and shit. Just wanted to know, how did you deal with that? What was it like for you?
Well, it was definitely challenging, man. Like, everything was really up in the air. Everything felt really disorganized. It was pretty stressful, but I guess that's part of the game, though, right? Like, there's been bad years in the past for MMA, too. It's not the only... You know, it's not the only bad year for MMA, just things getting canceled, things being disorganized. I was almost supposed to fight on other cards and stuff, and things fell through. Things just didn't like really turn out, and it was really frustrating the amount of times that we tried to set something up and then it got canceled. But I'm super happy to have finally signed a contract and finally, you know, have this fight booked, you know?
Yeah, of course, man, because, like, especially how your last fight ended, I just, like, can't, like, feel how much you, like, fight you really needed to get back in the cage, because, fuck, that was frustrating for you last fight, like, with Xavier the DQ and, like, what happens, Firas fucking screaming at your face when the referee was announcing the decision and shit, so... Like, man, like, did that ending of last fight just probably made you want to fight, like, real quick, just, like, get this shit past you?
Absolutely. There was, you know, I've stayed hungry ever since. There was, you know, obviously, there was some negative emotions coming from the last one, but to be honest, like, I've had a lot of time to grow since then, and maybe it was for the best, right? Maybe it was for the best that I got a little bit of time to kind of like hone in and kind of grow a little bit before I make that return. So I'm still just as hungry as I was, you know, right off the end of my last fight, even though, you know, regardless of what happened.
And why was Firas so mad? Like,
I don't know, man. From my end, there's no hard feelings. It's like, you know, mistakes were made. You know, obviously I did break the rules. I did make a bad judgment call, and I broke the rules and did something which I'm not supposed to, and I suffered for it. I'm sure he's mad, you know, like any coach would be in that situation, but I don't really have much to say about that, man. I just want to look the next fight. I want to look at the enemy right in front of me, right?
Of course. Let's talk about it, because I'm hyped for that fight, man. It's a good one. I feel like it's probably the best fight on the card. I know the main event's like real good, Jesse Ronson and Troy Lampson, like two real high level guys, but like we don't care about Troy Lampson around here. But like we care about you, and we care about.
I certainly care about Carapato, eh?
Yeah, exactly, and we care about Sarris City too. He's a good prospect. I've seen him in action, and like he's looking good. Good for a 145er. He's on the rise too. I feel like he's one of the guys that was the most talked about last year. A little bit like you in 2018. So I feel like you were kind of on a collision course since. Like you pretty much look like you're going to fight at pretty much any weight you can make. So it was a matchup that was bound to happen someday, and I'm hyped it's happening actually. So I wanted to know, like, how do you feel about this matchup?
I feel as far as how I feel about this matchup, I feel great, man. Like it's how I feel before every fight. I feel great about every opponent. I feel great about every matchup that I get. You know what I mean? It was you know, he had a really big year last year, and I had a really big year the year before. It was a fight like this was bound to happen in terms of, as soon as I was kind of, you know, free from my contract with TKO, like, absolutely, this fight was going to happen. In fact, it was one of the fights we were looking for last year. It was one of the fights I was looking for previously that I guess didn't happen because, you know, things just didn't line up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, it's gonna be a good one for sure. What do you think he's gonna bring to the table? How do you expect him coming out in that fight? We probably know he's gonna keep it standing. It's pretty much the thing you do against Matteo Vogel, pretty like no matter who you are. But like, how do you feel he's gonna approach this fight?
I feel he can approach this any kind of way, and I'm comfortable regardless. I'm comfortable with however he comes out of the gate. You know, for all I know, he could be trying to surprise me. For all I know, he could be trying to do something completely different, or he could be doing something the same. But I'm ready, and I'm comfortable with either outcome. I visualize the fight going many ways. I visualize many starts to the fight. I don't feel he has to come out any sort of way. I'm ready for anything, basically, at this point. Like, I have an open mind when it comes to that.
Do you game plan, or like you pretty much take it as it is? Like, or do you really look at specific things, or you pretty?
Sorry.
Yeah. Do you game plan for fights, or do you like just take it as it is? Because you seem like a guy that really doesn't give a shit what his opponent's gonna try to do, and you're pretty much like focus on your what you are gonna try to do. But I was wondering, like, do you game plan and look at specific things from your opponents?
Well, absolutely. You gotta, you know, we do study our opponents quite in depth. I do take the time to really heavily read into each of my opponents. But at the same time, I'm a big believer in not getting too hung up on what my opponent's gonna do. You know what I mean? I'm facing another fighter. I'm facing a body that's gonna come after me. So I feel mostly it's on me more than it's on anyone else for the fight to go a certain way. Force someone to play into my game is far more important to me than having to learn to play someone else's game.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's what you want to do. If you're at an advantage on the ground, it's it's clear that you're going to want to force your opponent to fight there. Just look at the best fighters in the world. Like, Khabib never fought somebody else's game. He's always fighting his game. And when you're fighting Khabib, you know, like, you're going to defend takedowns all night long. And everybody, you know what's gonna happen? Yeah, everybody gets forced into this matchup. Nobody can do nothing. So.
Absolutely.
I feel that, like, that's a good approach. And have you signed a one fight deal with BTC, or are you a multi fight deal?
I'm on. I took a one fight deal right now. We'll see what happens afterwards. But yeah, we're just looking at this one fight for now. All my attention's on this one fight. And I'm not really looking at what's happening next, man. I'm taking this one step at a time.
Cool. That's. It's gonna be a good one, man. I know I'm repeating myself, but I just spoke to Jesse Ronson, and he's training a little bit. Like, he's training at many gyms, and he's seen Siri, and he's hype about that matchup too, man. He feels like it's probably, like, gonna be the best fight on the card. This has, like, fight of the night potential written all over it.
I believe so as well, man. I believe there's gonna be some fireworks in this fight. There will be, there was gonna be a lot of action. We're both guys that bring a lot of action. We're not guys that look too, eke out a decision. We're both guys that really go for the kill. So I think that's going to make for a really, really entertaining fight.
Of course. And now that I get to speak to you, you're going to be like the representative of your old gym. Because I want to know what's up with some people, especially Alex O'Neill. Like, what's up with Alex O'Neill?
Alex O'Neill is Alex O'Neill, man. He's he's in the gym. Whether he's fighting or not, man, I'm with him all the time. Alex is our, like, team captain of the MMA team here. So regardless if he's got something coming up or not, like, he's always in the gym, and he's really generous. He's working with us all the time. He's always helping out who's next. So I received a lot of help from Alex. He's one of my top partners, man. And the guy helps me out. Probably he's one of my primaries, top five training partners here at the gym. I'm seeing him almost every day.
And anything lined up for him? Do you know?
Nothing. I don't think anything's in the works for him, but man, the guy's always in the gym. And he's basically ready at a moment's notice as well.
Another guy that we would wanna know what's up, Matar. What's up with Matar?
Ooh. Man, Matar is actually fighting. He's fighting kickboxing at the end of this week.
Oh.
So he's fighting for kickboxing, and I forget which promotion that's on, but he's fighting. He's been training for a stand-up fight. I've still been getting tons and tons of rounds with Matar. He feels deadly as ever, man. He feels super sharp. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at the end of this week with this fight at 147.
Man, okay. Where is he? I know you don't know the promotion, but what town?
Where's Matar's fight? What? Where's Matar's fight? Oh, in Calgary. It's in Calgary.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who else? Like, who's got something lined up in the gym that I gotta be excited for?
In terms of MMA, I'm the only one with something lined up right now. But like Matar. Matar's got something lined up. Jeff's right there. Yeah. Yeah, but in terms of MMA, I'm the only guy who's got something lined up right now.
Cool, man. I'm really looking forward to that event, and I'm gonna let you go on that. Thanks a lot for taking the time, and we'll be listening at it closely, and can't wait to see what's next for you after that one, man. So thanks a lot for taking the time, man.
Thank you, brother. It's my pleasure. Always great talking to you, man.
Yeah, man, and I can't wait to see this. I hope we get to see some amazing jiu-jitsu again.
You might.
Fuck right. Thank you, man.
Take it easy, man.